This is the BBC.
The Scott Mills Daily Podcast is back, and it's the last one of 2017. Welcome. Includes one of our best Ghostbusters stories of the year. Also, James the Private Investigator with another real-life story, but in the studio this time. And When We Met the Royals. Good morning. I was just thinking in bed last night.
Okay.
That's not something you want to hear the first sentence, is it? I was just thinking in bed last night. Christmas Day was Monday. That's mad.
Does it feel really far away now? Or does
yeah.
It feel... Yeah, because I think as soon as Christmas is done and there isn't this sort of relentless Christmas music, it kind of moves away quite quickly, doesn't it?
It's like it never happened.
Although there is some really good TV on, still.
I haven't seen any.
Have you not?
Well, not any good stuff. I saw a show about Mary Portis last night and what we bought in 2017.
What are you doing?
What else is on?
Mate, it was like a buffet last night. I had a little bit of Game of Thrones. I had a little bit of... Why are you pulling that face at me?
Not for me, you know that.
Had a little bit of Game of... Well, give it a go. Give it a go.
It's too late.
I had a little bit of Game of Thrones and then I watched the Bruno Mars in Harlem on... it was like this concert on BBC One last night.
I've got a theory about Bruno Mars.
What is it?
He's amazing, right? But nobody knows enough about him. I don't trust him.
I do agree with this. We don't know what he's up to in his personal life.
I don't trust him. I don't. There's something... I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's an incredible performer. But what's he all about, huh?
He's so good. And especially when he says so much in his songs about, you know, everyone that he's getting with and all this kind of thing. But it is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of all the pop stars, you kind of don't know too much about him.
What's he up to? That's what I want to know. Oh, I'll tell you what, Katie Thistleton is wide awake goals, isn't she? I was listening on the way in this morning. She's like, hi there! I'm quite jealous of that, because I find it hard to sound awake at this time.
Especially, as she was saying, without any tea or coffee.
How do you
do
that?
Crazy. Like, I've had about six.
I don't trust her either. No tea, no coffee.
You don't trust her? There's something about that one.
All those years, though, of CBBC training, you can't be miserable on there, can you? Because otherwise children will cry.
Listen, other points of information today. Why are you so tanned?
Just had a 10-minute holiday yesterday. Don't mention it.
Mate, it's really on.
I know it's on. I have brought some aftersun to the studio today.
Yeah.
December.
I wish I'd bought sunglasses.
Yeah, all right.
Staring at the sun.
You think even more on CBeebies, it's kind of like you're constantly on, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, I'm a tree.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm
being?
Would
you like to be a tree too? So you can't be miserable. That's where Katie gets it from.
But she's CBBC, isn't she?
Yeah, sounds awesome. Right, let's do this.
Radio One Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Right, say what you just said about Game of Thrones. I know you just started watching it.
Yeah, well, I watched a couple of episodes last night. I'm kind of into it because I've avoided it so far for the same reasons that you don't really like it. But I just didn't really think it'd be for me.
But you think it is for you now?
Yeah, so I started... This is the problem.
People are going to hate this, by the way. Yeah. Game of Thrones fans, listen up to this.
Look, because I didn't really care about it at all. And then I noticed there was a few episodes from season 7 on the TV, right? So I watched those. Yeah. So it was about 4 episodes of season 7 that I saw.
Right.
Then it all vanished again.
Yeah.
And then there's loads of, like, reruns going on at the moment. So I think I'm watching a couple of episodes last night of series 4.
Okay, so... You have no concept of the story whatsoever?
No, but it is good. It is really good. So every individual episode I'm seeing is really good, but I've got no sort of overriding idea about what is going on. But I think that's fine. I think it's okay to enjoy a TV show like that.
People are going to get really stressed if you're not watching in order, though.
So I don't really know, because people keep vanishing and then some people are there and some people aren't there when I watch it. It's like I saw one episode from Series 2 the other day.
So you've watched a bit of Series 7.
It was on TV.
A bit of Series 7. A bit of series 4 and a couple of episodes from series 2.
It's what it is. It's like a jigsaw where loads of the pieces are missing. That's kind of how it is.
That's really going to stress the Game of Thrones fans out. My mum is still with me in the Christmas hangover, so she still has control of the remote. So last night we had to watch Mary Portis telling us what we bought the most in the UK in 2017. What I found out was that we bought a lot of stuff involving unicorns, a lot of Prosecco, stuff to go in Prosecco to make it shimmer so it looks good on Instagram, and also a lot of grown-up items were bought in the last 12 months. Here's Mary in Poundland asking the manager where they sell them the most.
Where in the country do you sell them the most?
Well, it's selling phenomenally right across the country.
But stop it, come on, someone's got to be a
bit
more.
The nooky capital of the UK is Hull in the northeast.
Hull.
In Hull, they
Isn't
absolutely
that the
love
culture
it.
Capital as
it
well?
It is, it's also the nooky capital as well.
Hull. You naughty, naughty people of Hull.
Nooky? Stop saying nooky.
BBC Radio 1, Scott Mills.
Good morning, Olivia, who is just getting up for another two-show day in pantomime today.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the panto people who will be getting up. And they work hard at Christmas.
It's true. Like,
you're
I'm
supposed
sure
to go... Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, no, they don't.
They work hard at Christmas.
Oh, no, they don't. Oh,
yes, they do.
But is it like two or three shows a day around this time?
Often, yeah. And now it's weird because the panto is generally all about Christmas, but it's not Christmas anymore.
And it keeps going on and on into the new year.
Often you could like get, what, 2 or 3 weeks into January, you're still singing Christmas songs and it's not Christmas anymore. It's long gone. My friend Sam is currently in Aladdin in Torquay.
Is he?
Two-show day today, so he'll be getting his gear on, whatever Aladdin wear. What does Aladdin wear?
Oh,
tight.
Right, is this why you're so tan today? Are you doing panto?
No, not yet.
Are you the genie?
No.
Oh.
Where are the best years of your career? Behind you.
Behind you.
Anyway, shout out... That's not true. Shout out to everyone doing panto today. Olivia, have a good one. Two shows in one day.
One.
Bit of a treat today. James, our private investigator, who normally is on our afternoon show, is coming in to see us in the actual studio today with another real-life spy story.
I think this is such a bad idea, by the way.
Why?
Bringing him into the studio. What are you thinking?
Why?
Think about it. We're bringing a private investigator into the studio.
Oh, you're actually... Hide everything.
Mate, he'll be fitting trackers. He'll be doing all sorts.
You think?
Oh, 100%. Don't shake his hand, whatever you do. He'll slip, like, one of those things into your pocket so he can see where you are.
Packing up my bag now in case.
Do you know what I mean? He'll definitely have a little rifle through that.
That's it. James, the private investigator, will be on just after 7:30. He normally tells us in the afternoon about spying on cheaters. He's got a great one for us today. And he'll be in the studio with us, 7:30. One. Music from Dua Lipa and the 1975 coming. It's Scott here. I don't know whether you missed this show the other night, but I wanted to talk about it. Called Six Robots and Us.
No, I didn't see this one.
It was on BBC Two the night before last. So they had six families with different needs and they give each of them a robot to see if this robot can help them with their everyday lives.
So are these robots for business or pleasure?
Well, they're just to help people with various things that they need. For instance,
what do you mean?
They had one family on whose dad was working away in Spain. So he's left them for 3 months. And obviously his wife and his two kids really miss him. So they get this robot in their house called Beam, which means they can be closer to their dad because he's away in Alicante in Spain.
Right, okay.
But Beam is a bit like a Segway with a screen on top.
So he's head of dad, body of robot.
Yeah, so they basically got them an iPad on a stick and they could video chat with him in Spain while they eat dinner in the UK.
Ever since he moved away, the Sharmas have missed having meals together. But tonight, thanks to Beam, Vin can take his place at the head of the table.
So that's the family at the dinner table in the UK, and there's Dad there on the screen, calling them down for dinner. Isn't that sweet?
This is wicked. Yeah, I like this idea.
And what a revolutionary idea.
Mm.
Have they never done Skype? It's the same.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, do FaceTime.
So this technology is basically just him on a screen. Yeah, but I suppose it's the body of robot thing, which is quite cool.
No, but this doesn't... It's just literally a stick with a screen on.
Right.
Which can move. So it's like Skype, but on the move. So, or alternatively, FaceTime, which you can move about with on your phone.
Yeah, so what they could have just done is propped up, say, the phone or an iPad or something on the table and just have the head on the table.
But yeah, exactly. But on this show, it's like they've never heard of Skype. It was like this revolutionary new idea which costs thousands of pounds. Beam could be in every home by 2020. It won't, because I'm already doing it every night with my mates. So that didn't impress me much. Then you had another slightly older couple who have a robot to help them around the house, and it's very much a Trevor situation. I don't know if you've seen this video going around over Christmas. There's a guy that's trying to work his new Alexa. He's a dad. But the son has told him that he has to say Trevor to activate it, and it's brilliant.
Well, how did you get it going?
Well, you've got to talk to it, and it tells you the news. What? It tells you...
Trevor, play me a song. Trevor, play Oasis.
No, right. Say it slowly.
Trevor!
Eventually they do tell him that it's not Trevor that he has to say. So then he tries to say Alexa.
Alexi! Say something then! Alexi! Alexis! Alexi! Sing me a song! Alexi!
Anyway, back to the robot show. You got this elderly couple and it was a bit like that. For some reason, the robot is telling them jokes.
Can you tell me a joke?
Of course I can, my friend. What is the best thing to do if you find a gorilla in your bed? Sleep somewhere else. Ha, ha.
Excellent. Excellent.
But the older guy is talking to the robot in the very same way that that man was talking to Alexa.
Trevor!
Listen to how the old guy talks to the robot in his house.
How do you do? We are pleased to meet you.
I really like it when people talk to robots and they speak really slow.
Yeah, why is it people can't just talk in a normal voice?
Like, that makes
things
a difference.
How do you do? We are pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
Trevor!
It's like an alien's landed. We are pleased to meet you.
Trevor!
Come in peace.
Trevor!
How do you do? We are pleased to meet you.
I tell her she my bestie, bestie, she my bestie.
Radio 1.
Chris Stark.
Yes.
Three words to describe January, please.
Oh, I don't know. Long, bleak, cold.
That'll do. That's why Radio 1 is bringing back Jan Slam. We have got a huge prize to give you every day in January, and they are out of this world. You know, other stations are like, have all this money. You can't buy these prizes. There are some ridiculous prizes that people from the world of music, movies, TV, and sport have helped us out with, and they are world class. These are experiences that you will never forget. They will change your life for the better, and therefore, we've sorted January.
I love that even though you're not a sports fan, you recognise how big these prizes are.
Yeah, yeah. So we're taking January and we've got some amazing prizes on Radio 1's Jan Slam. Here's what you do. Listen to me Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. I'll tell you the next step to winning these prizes.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
Radio 1.
1.
1.
Where?
It begins.
Right, you're going to be obsessed with this because you want to know everything about Meghan Markle at the moment. You want to know what's going on, right? You do a bit.
I feel like I've got to catch up on a lot, yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. She used to have a blog, a lifestyle website called The Tig, T-I-G. And I think some of it is still online. She shut it down earlier this year, obviously.
So what is it? Is this like finding someone's old MySpace?
It is a bit, yeah. And in early 2016, before her and Harry got together, her New Year's resolutions, which apparently are the same every year, are stop biting her nails and give up swearing. Well, she's going to have to give up swearing now.
Give up swearing?
Yeah, Roz don't swear.
Of course, yeah.
When the Queen does not swear.
That's a really good point. I never thought of that.
The Tig. Look it up. You'll be obsessed.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Baby, I know you ain't scared to catch fish with me.
I'm finding out so much about Meghan Markle from The Tig. She loves red wine with hot chocolate in it. She loves travelling. She
loves...
Expert.
Sorry, say that again. She loves red wine...
Red wine with hot chocolate in it.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. Honestly, there's loads. Oh, she loves hot sauce. It's her vice.
Sorry, is this a drink with red wine and hot chocolate in one?
Yeah. You're going to be watching this all day now. You're going to be looking up the blog of Meghan Markle. They've shut it down, obviously. Do you think they had to shut it down, like, upstairs?
Well, I've always wondered this. They must have to sit down and have a chat about everything and say, right, what
close like old the, close the blog.
Old MySpace accounts, things like that. They have to go, I guess, don't they?
Do you think there's a team of people like scouring the internet going, that's got to come off, that's got to come off, that's got to come off? I think there probably is.
I do wonder if there's a company that can sort of remove everything from the internet if you wanted.
I think if it's connected to the royals, I think anything can happen. Nearly 7:45 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills. James, our real-life private investigator, is coming up with another incredible real-life spy story. That surely has to be in Chart of the Year later, with Jordan North. send whatever you can, because Jordan will be here for 6 hours. Care packages, whatever you need. The official chart of the year with Jordan North. Back-to-back solid tunes from the year. The biggest ones of 2017. From 1 o'clock this afternoon till 7 on Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
It's Friday morning on Radio 1, 7.52. So if you've never listened to our show in the afternoon, 1.40 you get real-life spy stories from a man who hides in bushes and stuff for a living. I'm pleased to say, because he's off over Christmas, he's come to the studio to see us today. It's James, the private investigator. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
This is a bit odd, isn't it?
Really weird.
Because I feel like I know you.
Yeah, and I recognise your voice. It's one of those situations.
Well, actually.
So what's mad about you is you don't strike me as a spook at first off.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. They expect like an old, disgruntled, retired cop.
Yeah, whereas you're actually quite sort of young, good-looking.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
So, James, you've given us some incredible stories over the weeks. I know that today, because you're here in person, you've got another one for us, but also you've got some photos to show us as well.
I can. Unfortunately, obviously, I can't share them with the listeners on Twitter or anything like that for security reasons, but I can show them to you, Scott, and you can describe them to your listeners.
Okay, James, so what have we got today?
So today we have a story which involves me having to follow a man around London, as all my stories involve. But this man kind of surprised us with what he was going to be up to and what he was doing, where he was going.
Okay, so who hires you?
So the client on this job was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He had told his wife that he was on a business trip in the UK, but he was going to be doing seminars for work. So his phone would be turned off quite a lot of the time. So that was his excuse.
Why was she suspicious?
She had found certain messages and emails on the family computer.
Classic. This happens quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because where your phone is linked to the computer and linked to the
tablet, family iPad, yeah.
So if you are sending naughty messages to someone, will kind of pop up on every device.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
But which is a problem.
We didn't fully appreciate the scale of the kind of affair he was having.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, tell us more.
Okay, so me and my colleague followed this guy in London, and initially he was on his own, and he met up with this woman, and she's considerably younger than him, quite pretty, and we noticed that they had bags with them, like suitcases, and we thought, oh, maybe a hotel visit could be on the cards, which is always nice and juicy to report back to our clients. So we followed him a little bit more, and he actually headed to the train station at St Pancras
with the lady
and his bags, and they got on the Eurostar.
So, like, you see him heading towards Eurostar, you're like, well, we're going to have to get on it as well.
Exactly. And you have to just kind of just really quickly get your colleague to buy a ticket while you stay eyes on and then have to follow.
Yeah, because sometimes they must go in a cafe before their train goes or flight, and you've got to try to figure out where they're going to be able to buy the ticket.
Exactly, and we had no idea. And
who pays for this?
So the client will pay for
so
all of this.
How bad is this? If your husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend are getting with someone else, right? And it's bad enough that you've had to pay a PI to follow them around.
Now you've got to shell out for the international travel.
Yeah, now you've got to pay for the for the holiday.
We do give them the option. We say, look, he's heading toward the Eurostar. Do you want us to essentially follow? And they have to approve it in advance. So there's no hidden bill at the end. They go, yeah, by the way, is a £10,000 bill.
Okay, so you're on the Eurostar. You're in the carriage with him.
Uh-huh.
You can see him and the lady.
Yep.
What happens next?
So we get to France, we end up going to Paris, so we had to do that classic follow that taxi routine, but in French.
It's like a film.
Literally.
Did you feel a bit like Liam Neeson?
A little bit, yeah. I thought it was Taken was going to just happen. But yeah, so we followed this guy, they went to a fancy hotel in Paris, so very romantic, obviously having an affair.
Oh.
They ended up staying there for a night.
So they spent the night in the hotel in Paris, now what?
So headed to the airport, so we're thinking, okay, fine, they're flying home today, perfect, we'll do the same. So we're paying close attention as to what flight they get, so we need to know which one to buy ourselves. And they end up flying to a different country. So they end up going to Spain at this point. Yeah.
What, so you go to Spain also?
Yeah, I don't think the client believed it at first. I was like, oh, he's gone to Spain, we better go with him. She's like, you're just after a free trip to Spain here. But we had to prove it, and obviously she wanted us to continue. I said, well, we've got the evidence. But she's like, no, I want more.
I want more.
I want more.
And we're going to hear more after this. Hello, Kevin in Southampton, who says, I think the private investigator needs to follow Scott for a while to ensure he goes to Radio 1 briefings and knows when the news is. But I'm just confused, yeah? It's between Christmas and New Year. I don't know when the news is on.
We can do news if you want.
No, we can't.
No?
Rick Kelsey nearly was like, and ran into the studio.
I can do you some news.
Please don't. Katie says, I'm rushing for work in Aberdeen, or I was, but I've never been more happy to be late so I can hear the rest of this story. Ryan in West Sussex says, what, so James the PI just had his passport on him at all times? Of course, you never know where you're going to go. Mm. Scott Mills here, it's 6 minutes past eight. If you are having to go to work this morning, jealous if you're just lying in bed, don't go out if you don't have to, because it's rubbish. This is the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Jay Hush and also Oliver Heldens coming up. Leah and Carl says, I was supposed to start work 5 minutes ago, but I'm still sat in my car waiting to hear the end of the affair. Claire says, I'm a midwife, just finished a busy night shift. Now I can't leave my car till I've heard the end of the story. This is why you need the Radio 1 app in your life, the BBC iPlayer radio app. Poppy says, why have I not downloaded the Radio 1 app? I need to hear the end of the story. Go to your app store, get the BBC iPlayer radio app. It's free, and then you don't have to stay in your car. You can just put your headphones in and take Radio 1 with you wherever you go, and you won't miss things like this. Okay. Let's do it. James, the private investigator, is with us in the studio this morning. What a treat.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. So, where are we at so far? You are following a client. His wife has been in touch saying, I think he's having an affair. So far, he's flown with a different lady to Paris. Then he's flown on to Spain. You and your colleague have had to follow him.
Exactly. So, we're now in Spain in this swanky hotel, enjoying ourselves quite a lot, but at the same time working and being very professional.
So, you're in the hotel, and where are you?
So we're in the bar at the hotel now.
Was he in there?
He was with the girl he's having the affair with.
Okay.
And what were they acting like, sort of?
They were being very flirty. I mean, okay. I've got some photos here, Scott, which can show you.
I mean, obviously we can't share these with the listeners, but let's just get our first reactions, Chris.
Unfortunately not.
Is this in a brown envelope?
No, it's on his phone.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I'm quite proud of these photos.
Right.
This is
Chris. Absolutely incredible to see here, Scott. So look, sort of long lenses. Where's that from, a car or
that's
a bush?
Actually from my car. And at one point, she looks directly at the glass, which is tinted, but she's just looking at her own reflection.
Oh, my God. Like, when you see the pictures for everyone at home, this is when you realise, like, this is your real job. I didn't doubt it, but the pictures really just bring it home to you.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that the airport?
The airport, look at that. They're actually quite good holiday shots, actually. If it sort of did work out and you could send the pictures to them, they might like these.
Yeah, so there they are, both at the airport. Incredible when you see the photos, isn't it? Okay, so James, you're in the bar in Spain. The lady and the man are there.
So yeah, we're in this bar in Spain. The lady and the man are there at the bar together. We're now engaged in a conversation at this point. What's happened is I'm standing so close to them that they've overheard my accent at the bar order a drink, and they start a conversation with me. Oh, you're from the UK as well?
Right.
How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So then we end up getting a conversation. We're there for quite some time having a few drinks. They're quite laughing and joking. The atmosphere changes somewhat. At this point, they start flirting with me quite a lot.
What, both of them?
Both of them. Like, yeah. But, yeah, so they were flirting with me at this point, and my colleague's just laughing behind me. I can hear him, like, kind of just sniggering away.
Right.
So they end up inviting me up to their room to see their hot tub. They were saying to me, oh, we've got a lovely room with a hot tub. Have you got a hot tub in your room?
Oh,
yeah, come to ours.
It's the old come and see my hot tub, isn't it? We've all been there.
We've all used that line.
Yeah. Now, did you then have to call the guy's wife and say,
your husband is
actually wanting me to get involved now?
Yeah, exactly that. So they essentially wanted me to go to the hot tub with them.
Right.
And I had to just double check with the client that how far she wanted us to proceed.
Yeah.
I mean, we all like a jacuzzi, but you hardly know these people.
I mean, this was a really nice hotel, though. It was really, really nice. And we was enjoying ourselves as it was, just enjoying the amenities.
So what did the lady say, the client, like when you said, your husband wants me to get into the hot tub?
She was pretty annoyed.
Right. But then said what?
Well,
you're there to do a job. Crack on.
I guess you'll have to find out next week, Scott, actually.
Are you rolling this over?
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll this over to next week.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's the master. Okay, find out this time next week on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. What happened? Did James accept their kind offer?
Invitation.
James, it's really good to see you. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Remember, this time next week, we'll find out if he did venture to that hot tub. Thanks, James. Jay Haas, Buff Daddy, or people were like late for their train this morning listening for that. Well, they nearly missed their train but didn't. Also, Rob on the way back to London from Hereford says, no, tell us now what happened. Well, Like, that's not the way it happens in EastEnders, is it?
Same.
I mean, it's like someone falls off a roof. No, tell us what happens now. Well, no, you have to wait for the next episode. That's the same here.
Yeah, come on. It gives us all something to look forward to. To be fair, that was good enough just hearing some of that stuff.
I can't believe you're making us wait until next year, says someone. I mean, you're being overdramatic.
What do you reckon goes on then?
I don't know. I think that he would have kept it... I've definitely kept it professional. And I think that probably does cross the line if you're in a hot tub with the person you're investigating. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Although he's...
Having a lovely time, maybe having a glass of Prosecco or something.
It's been lovely meeting him today, but he does seem very committed to the job as well, Scott, which does suggest to me he might.
I actually don't know what way it's going to go. Tim at Heathrow says, I need to be listening next week. When's it going to be on? Same time next week. So next Friday, we'll start it up about 7:45. And we'll find out what happens with James the PI. Really got everyone talking today, though. I love that.
Scott Mills.
A lot of people get ghosted online. You match with someone, you start chatting, all seems good, they seem keen, you're keen, then they stop replying. And it's hard to not think, well, what have I done? Why me? Like, why don't they like me anymore? Because they've not even met me yet.
Exactly, yeah. It's a horrible feeling sometimes.
Or sometimes we've heard from people that have been on a couple of dates and then they just disappear again, get ghosted. Mm. So we do this thing called Ghostbusters where we end up calling the ghoster and asking why. And this is one of our favourites from our year. In Bristol, it's Georgie. Hiya.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Chris.
Have you been ghosted?
Yes, I have.
You make that sound like one of those injury lawyers adverts. Have you been the victim of a ghosting?
Okay, so tell me about this guy then.
So we were messaging on a dating app and we arranged to meet up. It was all good. He messaged me on the day we were first meeting up to say, oh, sorry, I've got to stay late at work, so can't make it, I'm afraid. So then we postponed it.
Yeah, but fair enough, you know, this happens, people have to work.
Yeah, I always think benefit of the doubt the first time they have to cancel, because I've had to do that too, and I've not felt very well.
How long were you messaging before?
For quite a while, like a week or two. This is dating, you tend to meet after a week or two. Mm.
And he seemed like a good bloke, seemed like you were keen.
Yeah, he seemed decent. He seemed like he was into the same things as me, music and stuff. So, yeah, I sort of gave him a chance.
You share a love of music and what else?
Love of music, like activities, going to gigs.
Cool, okay.
What was the opening line out of interest?
Oh, I can't remember. This was a while ago. Probably, how are you?
I hate dating app small talk. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how are you?
I hear a lot of people are adopting the Big Shack at the moment, at the beginning. 2 + 2 = 4 - 1 is ...
Oh, and then if they reply quick maths, they're like, oh, yeah.
They're okay, a keeper.
You get it. They're a keeper. All right, so he cancels on date one, but he's got to work. Then what?
And then we postponed to date two. I don't hear from him for a good couple of days before the date's due to happen. So the day of the date comes and I decide, you know what, I've not heard from him. I'm not even going to bother going. And then the time came, 6 o'clock, we were meeting, and I messaged him saying, that was the best disappearing act since Houdini. And he replied saying, oh no, so sorry, I'm at a gig in Cardiff. I forgot.
So he's forgotten?
Yeah.
So date one, he's working late. Date two, he completely forgets about.
Yes.
And he was completely at a gig forgot. In Cardiff at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. I guess queuing.
Hmm. You do get the impression that if he was really keen to meet you, that he would have been there. Do you know what I mean? This is now the second time.
It was just the fact that he forgot.
Yeah, I mean, you're not top of his mind if he just forgot, are you, really?
No.
And were you all dressed up and everything? Were you kind of really ready for the date?
Well, I wore something nice to work because it was after work.
Oh,
but then I didn't actually go along because I hadn't heard from him.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, is he not contacting me? Is he ghosting me already before we even meet?
But I liked you held out till 6 and then was like, right, you've done a disappearing act.
Yeah.
He's not completely disappeared then. It's just that he's ghosted you on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, he didn't turn up.
Yeah, it's not great.
And he didn't talk to me again.
He's never said why.
No.
Okay, well, I can find that out for you. He's still a ghost, so he needs the Ghostbusters to find out exactly what happened. You've got his number, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to play this, and during the song, I'll get his number, and then let's just ring him. I want some answers. Right there.
Scott Mills.
So we did ring him, and you'll find out what happened soon.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
So our normal show is weekday afternoons, 1 till 4. You should listen, or if you're at work, get the podcast, Scott Mills Daily. And we do a thing called Ghostbusters and find out why they stopped the contact. This is one of the best ones we did this year.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Hi, hi Scott, hi Chris.
So, meets this guy on a dating app, all fine. They're chatting away. Date one, he's like, sorry, I've got to work. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Date two, he forgets and he's in Cardiff at a gig. That's where we're at. But no explanation as to why he didn't really turn up. Twice. And if you're happy, Georgie, we can give him a call, right?
Okay.
I think the harsh thing for you, Georgie, was that you were all prepared, especially for the second date. It wasn't nice that he just never turned up. There must be a reason why.
I would like answers.
Right, exactly. That's what we're here for.
Oh, I feel horrible.
Oh. Okay, are you ready, Georgie?
I am.
Okay, I'll start and then I'll bring you in, okay?
Okay.
The answers. Okay, good luck, everyone. Oh. It's making me do IGNs.
IGN?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Sorry to bother you. It's my name's Scott Mills. I'm calling you from BBC Radio 1.
Oh, hiya. Wow, okay.
I wonder, can I ask you a question? Sorry to call you out of the blue.
No worries.
Have you been chatting to anyone called Georgie?
I talked to her a little while ago.
Yep.
A little while ago now.
Yeah, on the dating app, was it?
Yeah.
Thing is, we do a thing on my show called Ghostbusters, where it's people that have ghosted others, you know, like they just not contacted them again. And
we should point out you're on the radio now.
And Georgie has got in contact with me because she said that you didn't turn up for two dates.
I don't even remember having arranged one date.
Do you remember Georgie?
I do remember, yeah. She's
And you were having a really good conversation, apparently, and you were arranging to meet up.
Possibly, yeah. I think I do remember it, yeah. But I don't remember ever like saying that I was going to attend an event.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
oh,
all right. Yeah. There must be some confusion. I'll tell you what. Why don't you... I've got Georgie here on the line, so why don't you... there's been some mix-up here, I think. Hi, Georgie.
Hi.
Hi. So what do you think? What's your take on this?
So we arranged to meet up, and then you said that you had to work late, fair play, first time. And then the second time, we were meant to meet, and I hadn't heard from you, and then you said you were at a gig in Cardiff, and you forgot.
I'm very sorry. What's that on purpose? I don't even remember going to a gig in Cardiff. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you make it up? No,
he's really doing himself some favours.
Yeah. All right. I've really landed myself in it now.
Hey, listen, this isn't a bad thing at all. It's just that, like, sometimes things get mixed up and we just want to kind of, like, you know, things get lost in translation sometimes. So don't...
I know I work in Cardiff sometimes, and maybe that's... I wouldn't call work a gig, though.
No.
So, yeah.
It just slipped your mind, did it?
Maybe. But I didn't do it make someone feel bad.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah. Maybe it was just an accidental ghosting, so to speak.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah.
All right. Georgie, what do you say to that?
Very well.
Are we going to attempt a date three, or should we just leave it here?
I don't know. Would you even like to meet me now?
Yeah, I'd meet you, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Georgie, he sounds forgetful, though.
I forget my name sometimes, you know. Yeah, right. It is.
Okay. Well, maybe after this, then you two will continue the chat.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no problem.
Thank you very much. I don't feel bad at all right now.
No, you shouldn't, because the thing is, when we get the Ghosters on, it shows that you're a good enough sport to take part in it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Georgie, you happy?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I guess a good chat.
Right, good to speak to you. Thanks very much.
You too. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Okay, after this, we need a debrief with Georgie, I think.
Scott Mills.
This is Scott Mills. So, Georgie, how did you feel after that?
I feel like I've confronted him. Mm. I did want to meet up with him at the time.
It does feel good, though, to get, like, an answer, right?
Mm.
Yeah, but also he sort of denied the meetings up. They definitely happened. I'm sure he's still got the messages on the dating app.
Oh, I'm not doubting you in any way.
There was still a situation where you went to work thinking that you were going on a date that evening. But
yeah.
The ghost sees it differently.
Yeah. But sometimes they do.
From where they are.
Maybe it was an excuse. Maybe you just decided you didn't want to meet up with me. Maybe you met someone else.
Well, the thing is, there's loads more out there. You don't have to go with that ghost if you don't want to.
I don't know. He seemed all right. Well, you don't know, do you? Could be a promiscuous ghost. Promiscuous ghost. But let us know if you go for a date three.
Sure.
Yeah, please,
you know.
Please let us know. And I hope we've provided some answers today here on Ghostbusters.
Yeah, thank you, Scott and Chris.
Thank you very much.
Scott Mills.
My email is scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Keen to do some more of these in 2018. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send me an email. Maybe you started chatting them for a while on the dating apps, or maybe you even met once or twice and then they just disappeared. I can find out why, as long as you got their number. That was Royal Blood and Lights Out. Shout out to Inna Rawlson, who is on the next track with Jax Jones. She's not very well at the moment.
Oh.
But she says she can, this is on Twitter yesterday, she can at least really honestly relate on a whole new level to her and Jack Jones' song. Hashtag, and now it's hard to breathe. Hashtag, can't breathe. Hashtag, I hate asthma. Oh, get well, Inna.
Scott Mills.
This is Scott Mills in for Grimmie on the Radio and Breakfast Show. David Mostak coming up and Charlie Puth. So, one of my, well, definitely probably the highlight of me being at Radio 1, and that's saying quite a lot because it's been here a while. And, like, highlight of life was when we got a visit from the Royals earlier this year. So William, Kate and Harry, as you probably know, are behind the charity Heads Together, the mental health charity. Mm. And our Radio 1 DJ, Adele Roberts, was running the marathon for Heads Together back in April. So they were here to surprise her. She had absolutely no idea they were coming in. And they were here just for like half an hour having a casual chat in this very studio, in the seats that you are in now.
It was such a crazy time. Also, we had to keep it a massive secret. Like, we knew this was happening.
Yeah, we got called into a meeting. They're like, okay, the Palace say you can't tell anyone. It was like top secret. And I didn't even tell anyone.
And we started that show that day and we were going through it. And the whole time we knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it surprised everyone. Everyone listening. It obviously surprised Adele, who was there.
It was only me, you and the producer that knew what was going on.
I think this interview has ended up being so big just because some of the stuff we got to say.
I was getting texts, which I only saw afterwards, obviously, because I had to concentrate, going, you're live on BBC News Channel.
Oh,
and for that whole week afterwards, it just went worldwide, massive. Because they talked about stuff that you don't really hear them talk about before. So this is when Prince William and Kate Middleton came to see us here at Radio 1. Someone from around here told me that you're a bit nervous about being on Radio 1 today.
I don't know what you're talking about, Scott. What are you talking about? this is a face of calm.
Is it true that you listen?
And occasionally, yeah.
Is it true that you text in?
I have texted in, yeah.
Under a different name?
Obviously, I wouldn't tell you who I was, definitely not. But I've texted in on Adele's show most recently, because I've been driving to work and for the air ambulance shift. She's the only one who's brave enough to be up at that time of morning.
What are you doing texting in the car?
Obviously, I've stopped in a lay-by and have not texted whilst driving, because that is illegal.
So I don't obviously need to know what the name is, but did you get a shout-out?
Well, I got a shout out, yes, from Adele on the day. I also got a shout out ages ago from Sarah Cox. She gave me another one.
Right, see, I don't think it matters who you are. A shout out on Radio 1 is still great, right? Did you feel like, oh?
I felt very, very, very privileged, yeah. Very honest.
I think basically we can now say that BBC Radio 1 is the official station of the Royal Family.
I'm
probably at the edge of your age limit. I'm probably meant to go across to Radio 2 now, but I'm hanging on in there.
No, it's fine. Come on in. The official, I mean, we could get the jingles made by four, I think, right?
Yeah, perfect.
The official station. You've both been to Radio 1's Big Weekend before, am I right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we were at Bangor.
Oh, in Bangor.
Yeah.
So just the once.
Just the once.
Yes, yeah. I actually remember that.
Yeah, were you both there for that one?
Yes, yeah, very much so. It's when we first saw Eddie perform live, wasn't it, actually?
Eddie was there, Cheryl Cole was there, and we had a very sweaty sort of man hug with Tiny Temper, which was amazing.
So, Kate, were you on his shoulders?
Yeah.
Rather than having to be like so last minute and so hush-hush, do you ever think to yourself, look, if I wore right now a comedy beard and a hat, I probably could go into that crowd unnoticed.
It has crossed our mind. And who's to say we haven't done that already?
Yeah. Oh, that would be good. Do you get to go to many other concerts or gigs?
No, unfortunately, it is a bit tricky to do that. I've talked about going to Glastonbury before because I do love my music and Catherine as well. So we've talked about going to Glastonbury.
The last one we went to was Coldplay, wasn't it?
Yeah, we saw Coldplay at Wembley. Yes. That was amazing.
Okay. But yeah, it's not something you can really do all the time.
No, and you know, I've got enough trouble with my dancing recently, so it's kind of best to keep away from that, to be honest.
Now, it's a very special day today because it's your grandmother's 91st birthday. Do you still get her a present?
It's quite hard to know what to give the Queen for her 91st birthday.
What on earth? I mean, let's be honest, most 91-year-olds have got everything.
Yeah.
What do you get them? It's a constant dilemma with my grandparents. Oh, is it going to be gloves again? I'll get her a scarf. What do you buy?
Well, you're very good at making things. So.
Yeah, we've tried making a few things. Now we've got another great grandchildren around. You see, they can make stuff, and of course, that goes down really well. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it looks like; it just goes down really well. Right. So okay, we stick to those sorts of presents.
What do you do? A bit of arts and crafts.
Well, George does. Yeah, he's very good at arts and crafts.
Are you taking credit for the arts and crafts?
No, this is great.
Putting the marriage on long run.
Chris, got anything?
Well, I was just wondering about some of the presents that you guys must have received, for example. So have you ever received presents from world leaders and they've just been a bit weird or maybe even not that good?
That's a very good question, Chris.
How do you answer that?
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Obviously, all the presents we get given from around the world are fantastic and we're very grateful.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. That's very diplomatic.
You've definitely never opened them and gone, what's this?
BBC Radio 1.
We have a game on our show called Innuendo Bingo.
Yes, I've heard it a few times.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you actually?
I don't know how it's so dry in here. Seriously, the amount of water gets flown around the place.
I don't think that's the game for you.
Are you proposing a game now?
No, Scott.
I haven't heard it. What's
no, don't. Seriously. Okay. Trust me on this one.
Okay. Get a game to tell you later.
Yeah. It's good to listen to. It's less good to participate in.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we've got it's wishful thinking, but if we wanted to, could you get hold of former President Obama for us? Because we really want him on.
I'm sure there's a way. If you keep talking about mental health for the rest of the day, and if you do another lolathon that includes more mental health, then maybe we could have a deal.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know so much more about Radio 1 than I thought you were going to.
I told you, I'm a listener.
I'm a bit scared. Are you allowed to have a mobile phone?
Yes.
Okay. Because I did see a thing with Obama recently when he did a show with Bear Grylls, and he was like, "Well, if you just send me a number," they were kind of joking around, and the president was like, "I don't actually know how to use that."
Mm.
He didn't know how to use the phone because he'd not had one for 8 years. And no, phones have kind of changed in that time.
They have, and unfortunately, we use ours far too much. And that's actually quite a relevant point. Putting my serious hat back on again about the amount of data and amount of time spent on social media and all that sort of stuff. Some of the things we've seen about mental health has been quite focused on that actually. And social media and all this technology is fantastic and it's great fun and it's a great way to communicate. However, that face-to-face contact is still really important for families and for friends. And, living a life online can be quite dangerous at times if you spend far too long at night looking at your phone and not getting enough sleep. It's quite a sort of healthy
point. Yeah, I guess it's largely about you with social media, you're looking at how people are kind of rating you or liking what you're putting up, which is maybe the wrong way around with things. You should just be proud of what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people, young people out there, really worry. You know, they've got exam pressures, they've got friends pressures, they've got family pressures. You then add social media pressure, like all the likes and you know, what everyone else is doing on the photos. And I do worry that everyone needs to kind of just take a step back from that and go, you know, the online world is my world, but also there's the real world as well.
Because it can end up taking a lot of your time if you're doing Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook. It's you know, and I think we're all guilty of it. It's the first thing you check in the morning.
Yeah,
let alone just the communication between you and your friends. I mean, do you have like a family WhatsApp group? How does it work?
Like today, you might wish the Her Majesty a happy birthday on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead, I could do a shout out on Radio 1 for her instead.
Oh, shit, don't tell me she's listening.
that's cool.
No, I hate to inform you, she's definitely not a Radio 1 listener. Right. But that doesn't mean you can't work on her. You never know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm most fine with that. Kate, if you don't mind me asking, I heard a podcast with Harry recently, and he refers to you as William and Kath, and that really confused me because everyone else calls you Kate. All the press call you Kate. So is this a thing that is just in the family?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure. I'm not that familiar with it, I have to say, back home. But I'll answer to most things, to be honest. Right.
Okay. I'm also intrigued to know, if you don't mind me asking, what do you watch on television, if anything? Do you watch things like The Crown and go, it's not like that at all?
Actually, a few people have asked me about that. We're both actually quite keen on box sets. So, we're a bit box setty, you know, when we get times in the evenings
once
to watch
kiddies are in bed.
I guess you have to watch all the children's programmes as well.
Yes, a lot of children's programmes. My goodness, there's a lot of them out there. Yeah. But they're quite, I mean, some of them are really good, but you have to pretend you're really interested in it because George gets very upset if you're not showing due diligence to the characters.
And is it generally Mr. Tumble, that kind of thing, then, is it?
Well, Fireman Sam has taken an awful lot of interest.
Are we at Peppa Pig stage yet?
We've gone past Peppa Pig stage. With one of them. Well, George has gone past Peppa Pig stage. Okay. Charlotte will probably be into Peppa Pig soon.
Yeah. It'll come round again.
Yes, it will. Okay. Yeah, so it's your turn to sit with him next time.
So what else do you like to watch? Anything in particular or just boxing?
We've watched Homeland. Big fans of Homeland. Game of Thrones we've watched as well.
Do you ever catch EastEnders or anything like that? Gogglebox.
No. Afraid not, no. No. Neighbours, used to watch Neighbours a lot at school. That used to be a big thing. Everyone used to congregate after lunch and go and watch Neighbours.
See, Adele, you were saying about watching something before you run the marathon, but I was saying it must be really hard to watch a film or something like that before the marathon in case you get the catchphrases stuck in your head and they just annoy you the whole way round.
Yeah, I was thinking of watching Step Brothers, the movie. I don't know if you've seen that.
Will Ferrell, isn't it?
Are you allowed to order in a takeaway if you wanted to?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very important.
So what would you have? Would you have a pizza? Would you have Chinese? What would you have?
Curry, definitely.
Curry.
Oh, I'm just finding out so much. These are the things I want to know, you see.
It's a real conundrum when it comes to it. Pizza, curry or Chinese.
Struggle for choice actually sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not so good with the spicy food though. I'm not good at spice.
But if you do a takeaway, they must never believe you when you're ordering it to the palace, right?
It doesn't usually get ordered to the palace, Chris.
Right, I see.
We tend to go and pick it up, not ourselves.
Got you. Yeah, got
it's
you.
A little visit around the area.
He's not going to go to Chicken Cottage, is he?
No, maybe not.
Now, I know everyone experiences a bit of sibling rivalry. If there was a fight between you and Harry, who would win?
Oh, that's clearly obvious.
Who?
Me.
Why?
Because I'm bigger.
I love the competitive nature between you. It's like the race that you were at, Adele.
You were
saying the race got really competitive.
Yeah, Kate was in the lead at first, and then the boys you went off like a rocket.
Definitely some steward inquiry needed on that race, though. Because we'd all agreed we're just going to do like a show run, make it look good, but don't go whatever. And then I turn around, I see the glint in my brother's eye, and I see the grin that my wife's got, and I'm like, all right, it's on.
Yeah, this is on.
And the next thing I know, the gun goes, and Harry's already about 30 yards down the track. So
I mean, it sounds to me that you're calling for a rematch on that
one. There's need of a rematch, definitely.
Yeah.
And a bit more training, I think, in between.
Trying to stretch the hammies off a bit more.
It's the photograph there at the end. There's a brilliant photograph of Sarah. Yeah. I don't look like I'm trying hard enough, but both of you...
Both Harry and I who are literally grimacing for the finish line.
Now, one more thing I want to know. You know, obviously, we only ever see you in the most regal of outfits and beautiful clothes. At home, Do you wear jogging bottoms? Or well, maybe an old sports top from St Andrews.
Yeah. I've got some comfy clothes to wear at home, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. But that's not our kind of comfy clothes, is it?
I don't know.
Maybe a chino. Now, Scott Mills. That's Craig David and Bastille. I know you on BBC Radio 1. Don't know if you saw Dan finally replied to Craig David last night. It was kind of awkward.
What happened? Sorry.
Because Craig David ages ago put like, Dan, so good to have you on the track. I can't believe I've been working with you.
Oh, no.
And then Dan took ages to reply, cause Christmas probably.
And looks awkward, so looks like he's not keen.
Yeah, and then finally it was like, Craig, sorry, been really busy, but loved working with you. Hope to do it again sometime. It was like a week ago you did that. So, but thanks, Dan, eventually, for getting in touch. That was I Know You. Good morning, Adele Roberts.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm like that with my mum.
What do you mean?
We text me, and then it's like weeks later, I'm like, oh, sorry, babes.
I know. Yep. Right, so I'm the same. I'm either instant reply or 2 weeks later. There's no in-between. Do you know what I mean?
I think you're quite responsive.
I can be. That's why when I was changing my phone over to my new phone the other day, you tried to text me, and because it took an hour, you were like, is he okay?
I had to ask around.
And I got all these messages. All right. Like, are you all right? Are you okay? Is Scott okay? It's like, I've only been offline for an hour.
Yeah, but it's unusual. Normally, three dots straight away.
I know.
The Radio 1 Jam Slam!
Right, so Christmas is over. Sorry to break it to you, hon, but it's over for another year. However, January's coming. Rubbish. But we have got some amazing prizes to make 2018 start off with a bang. We have got the biggest names in music, movies, TV and sport, and they have helped us to get some world-class prizes, which you will not be able to get anywhere else, and they will change your year. Not just your year, your life. This is something you'll be able to, like, take with you forever.
Oh, they're insane.
To your grave.
Just absolutely insane.
Make sure you listen to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show on Tuesday, next Tuesday morning. That's the 2nd of January at 8 a.m. I will tell you the first prize and how you can enter to win. It's dead simple. And these prizes, well, I saw the list the other day. I was like, really? How have they managed that?
Yeah, I just feel jealous of whoever wins these prizes.
So, incredible prizes. The only thing you need to do here is listen every day at 8 a.m. and you get a new prize. So Tuesday morning, I know all the days are mixed up at the moment, but Tuesday morning, that's probably when you go back to work, the 2nd of January, next week. Adele, have you seen the prizes?
No. Are you sure they're good enough? Because we keep talking about this, getting people excited. Are you sure they'll live up to that?
Right. So here's
what I'd sound like a bit of a lie, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I'm reading this out and I'm going, these prizes better be good.
Yeah,
they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think they might be that might be a letdown?
Well, it's just that it says world class. Yeah. That's like Ronaldo levels.
But also, you do hear on other competitions and they're going, oh, it's amazing.
You do hear it a lot on the TV and on the radio, but this is different.
Okay
what I'm going to do now, Adele, because you don't know, is I'm going to turn off the microphones and I'm going to tell you one of the prizes. Need to be careful here, because if this goes wrong, then they won't be happy.
Okay.
Here's one of the prizes. And it's happening, like, I think next week. Anyway, it's one of them.
Okay.
Here we go. Here it is now. Make sure they're turned off.
You are actually joking.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
That is
truth.
Next week as well.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio, everybody.
I don't know what you're saying.
That is amazing.
I actually don't know how you would get that otherwise.
Yeah, how's that been done?
This is what I mean. That one in particular almost annoys me.
Yeah.
Well, because you can't enter. And also, it's probably like when I used to do the lottery. You're not allowed, even your family won't be able to enter, or any of your friends.
Oh, no.
Really? So they all get punished because I work here.
Yeah. One of my friends used to do lottery at work for years, and I was like, do you know what? If you'd ever won, it would have been completely not valid because.
No way.
True. Friends and family, not allowed to play it. Oh. Anyway, so that's the same for you with Jan Slam. Tuesday morning, 8 a.m, I will tell you the first prize, and they are magnificent.
Scott Mills.
I would like to wish you a happy new year before the networks crash. We're back Tuesday morning, the 2nd of January, on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Listen at 8 a.m. for the first incredible prize on Jan Slam. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.